Hey everyone, you're listening to But Why Though the Podcast, the podcast where Kate, Matt, and myself, Adrian, talk about the things people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcast, or wherever you're listening to us on. It helps people find us, and it helps us find you. If you want to support us a little more, head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/butwhythoughpc. As one of our lovely patrons, you get access to episodes early, along with show notes, But Why Though swag, and personalized content. But really, we're just happy you're here. Enjoy the show, and welcome to the familia.
Welcome back to But Why Though the Podcast, and today we have a special episode where we are doing a roundtable of sorts talking about Latinxes in gaming. As always, I am your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And some awesome friends today. We have Juan Vaca.
Hi, everybody. I am a designer at Endless Entertainment. I'm a narrative designer. I worked at Telltale for 5 years. I focus on storytelling in games, and I see the importance in telling our stories to connect people. And, you know, I was asked to be part of this volunteer effort for Latinos in gaming. And that's why we're here. Like, that's how we've gotten a chance to meet. I work in games. I love games. I love my people. And I think it's time that we try to connect more of each other and get us connected.
Thank you so much for being on. And then we also have Elaine Gomez.
Hi. So I'm a game designer at Elaine Media, and we're primarily a game studio that works in the educational space, but not like 2 + 2 = 4 education, but we're very well known for a game called Never Alone. So if nobody has ever heard about that, it's about the Alaska Native tribe and trying to make a story, an indigenous story, come to life in a digital space. So it's that type of educational, more of awareness driven, and trying to spend knowledge across the globe. So I work there trying to make education fun, because that's something really difficult to do, actually. Yeah. And then aside from that, I teach game development and game design, both at a college level and at like a middle school and high school level. So I do that with Eline as well, because we have an initiative that does that called Make Room. And then I do it at Rutgers University, the State University of New Jersey. So that's what I do for a living. And then on the side, I'm an independent developer. I make my own games on my free time.
You are super busy. I think I'm busy. Yeah, but you're like very busy.
Extremely busy.
Thank you so much for being on. And then we have Judy Jetset.
What up, what up? Hi. I don't know why you made me follow these people, man. They're so cool and prolific doing all their stuff. I am a lowly volunteer community organizer. By day, I do IT, and it's very boring. And then by night, I am the current head of NYC League of Legends. I am a budding voice actor, and I am helping spearhead Latinx in games, trying to bring people together. I'm just an avid esports fan. I'm an avid fan of video games, and I just really like making spaces for people to connect on that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being on, Judy.
Thank you for having us.
So the first thing I do want to say is kind of talk about what Latinx means, because I know a lot of people out there listening may not know what Latinx is. So for those of you who don't know, Latinx is a gender-neutral version of using Latino. The Spanish language is gendered, so you usually pick Latino or Latina. Or if you're in a mixed group and there is just one man involved, even in like 10 women, it's Latinos. And so Latinx was created as a way to, one, combat that erasure, but also give an option for non-binary individuals to use a signifier for their identity and their Latinidad that is not gendered. And so Latinx is kind of, I'm not the best at using it in everything I say, but I'm trying really hard to make sure I integrate it into how I work. But if you're listening, didn't know what Latinx is, there you go. And then, so the first thing I wanted to talk a little bit about is, you know, a lot of people think of being Latinx or Latino or Latina as like a really monolithic thing. And I could see everybody on the video cameras right now, and I'm like, we all look super different from each other. and I think that it's really important to kind of talk about Latinx identity and like some of, you know, how do we each frame it? How do people frame it usually? And how specifically be great to hear how Latinx in gaming views Latinx identity. So whoever wants to go first.
So, you know, I think when I was invited to join the group and we were having these conversations with Judy and Chris, who unfortunately couldn't be here today, but sends her love. You know, we had that conversation about, like, what does it mean to define Latinx? You know, like, what does it mean by trying to put a label on a gateway to various cultures and various peoples and various affinities into those? And it became a little bit unfair to kind of become gatekeepers. So I think part of one of our core pillars was to, you know, lower the gate, lower the standard, lower the bar, and say that, you know, everyone here has a story to tell, has a connection, and we want to make sure that everyone feels included in the conversation.
Yeah. I mean, even just among the three of us, there were so many questions, right? Like, I'm half Brazilian. Am I technically Hispanic? I'm South American. You know, to what extent? Puerto Rico, as Americans, they're obviously still Latino. You know what I mean? Like, there are so many degrees of definition of Latinidad, as you mentioned. And like, do you have to speak Spanish? Of course not. Many Latinos don't speak Spanish and we're still raised in the culture, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and that even in and of itself, the culture itself spans so many different things. Like, how many foods have I yet to try that are native Latino, you know, dishes that, you know, I have yet to be graced with, right? That doesn't make me any less Latino and someone else any more Latino for having had them, right? So I think we opened it up to mostly just being a celebration about, you know, all the things that we identify with being Latino and all the things that we enjoy about our culture, no matter where it comes from. I've learned so much just being a part of the group and learning about what people identify with their cultures. Even when we were making the buttons, right, Elaine, people were like, this flag, and what does this mean? And what is, like, even in just that week of, like, getting people together, there's just such an array. And that specific, that diversity, that multitude is what we're celebrating, I think.
Yeah. And it's also, unfortunately, a cause of controversy even within the Latinx community, because people are like, well, why are you labeling and categorizing people? Why can't you just be united? But the fact is that in a perfect world, we would all be united, but we're not, you know? And I feel that encompassing Latinx as a word and coming together as a people with the common goal of we all hold banners of different flags. We all may have different cultural values and traditions, but at the end of the day, we want to be recognized in the whole spectrum of things as a people who are hardworking, as a people who are creative, as a people who mean something in this world like everybody else. It's just that we have a little bit more of a flavor, right? Because of where we come from, it's in our DNA. Just like Judy said, I think it's something to celebrate and it's something to share. Because there are things like me being Puerto Rican, for example, and being half Dominican as well. There's things that I can share with my Mexican friends that they would never have heard of and never had experienced. but we can talk about it and find like common ground and connect dots and become close just because, you know, of the I always call it the spiciness of our culture.
That's good.
That's good. It's just how it is.
So actually,
it's just how it is.
Actually, our Twitch emote, we're Twitch affiliates, and our Twitch emote is actually a chili pepper with a sombrero on it, and it says spicy on it, because hey. I've got a cold spicy, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna live spicy now, so all y'all get an emote.
I just think we have so much flavor and in our personalities, mm-hmm. in the way that we speak, in the language, even whether it's Spanish or Portuguese, like, there's a certain, like, I don't know, there's a level of emotion that comes with the way that we express ourselves. Even if we were raised in the United States, it's still in there.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's something special that we hold and we can share. And I love it. That's why I love being part of the Latinx community in games and outside of games. Because there's something about that family, that sense of family, that it's hard to find outside of our own space.
I would also add that, like, as we continue to talk about the Latinos and gaming group at Latinos and Gaming on Twitter, let's lower the accessibility bar also for, like, what gaming means, right? It's not limited to console, PC, or developer, or player, or streamer, or media, or student. Like, there's a place for everyone, you know, and that inclusivity, I think, is what gives us a forum for trust, a forum for learning, really fosters this community that we have. We just have to connect with each other.
Yeah. Now, I really want to tell y'all, I really appreciate everything y'all to say. I was at the PAX West panel that y'all did for Latinx in gaming, and it was hearing you all define what Latino means was really important for me, because I'm Chicana. And specifically Chicana, like, I've always, my family, like, my grandfather came from Mexico, but my grandmother's family has always been here. Like, I am more in tune with with what it means to be Tejana than what it means to be, like, specifically Mexican. And so, and I don't think a lot of people understand that. And I think there have been, and I think Juan said it great, as, like, there have always been kind of gatekeepers within the Latinx community. Like, oh, you're too dark. You're not dark enough. You don't speak Spanish. You don't speak the right kind of Spanish. And hearing you all kind of, like, really be inclusive in this way, because I think when it comes to the Latinx community, people don't think of us as diverse, but we're extremely diverse, but that also means that we have to work to be extremely inclusive as well.
I think that, just to piggyback off of that, it's funny. I'm half Mexican. My dad is Mexican, but I was raised in New York. So people will come to me with, like, references about, you know, Mexicans in California and Mexicans in Texas, and I'm just clueless with it, right? So, like, that's what I think is really cool, that, you know, that I've learned and that I've experienced in Latinx and gaming in particular, especially, that everyone's so super receptive. You know what I mean? I think the fact that we have made inclusivity and kind of lowered the gates, basically, as Juan mentioned, I think that has set the tone of when we share things. It's always in that sort of celebratory fashion, no matter where it's coming from, no matter what it is. I'll tell you, like, I didn't really mess with Unity that much, and then I'm seeing all of these awesome Unity projects, and I'm, like, caring a lot more about now, like, that platform. And, like, you know, console gaming is not really my thing, but I'm super, like, I'm reading up on stuff that people are sharing, and it's just, like, super interesting to me, just because people are like, this is my experience. And everyone in that group is like, yes, I want to know what your experience is like. I'm super receptive to it. And that is a breath of fresh air, frankly.
Where were y'all when I was growing up, man?
Yeah.
Where was this? I grew up in El Paso. My mom's white. And my dad's side of the family is heavily Hispanic. And I'm pretty dark. So kids thought I was black, and then they saw my mom. They're like, oh, no, wait, you're white? Like, what are you? So, like, even when I was trying to learn Spanish when I was a kid, they're like, oh, just stick to English. Like, get out of here. So, like, I got gatekeeped hard when I was a kid. But the older I've gotten, the more that I've been in communities, like with Kate, and then now listening to y'all talk, like, where are we all at, man? Man, that would have made, you know, being in tune with, like, that side of me so much easier. So I'm glad you guys are around, and it's, what you're doing is important.
That's kind of been, like, our philosophy, you know. Mm-hmm. if you can see it, you can be it. You know, that's the importance of representation and visibility.
And then, like, kind of, like, going off of that into, like, the next topic, I really want to talk about representation of, you know, Latinx in games. And kind of, I want to know if there are any characters that you all identify with or how you all feel about, you know, Latinx representation has been handled. Because I think that, like, that, I think people take for granted what it, what representation means. That, like, to be able to play a hero as yourself and, like, live that, that immersion factor that, like, video games do so well. It's one of the reasons I love RPGs and getting to make my own character. Like, what are you all's thoughts on, you know, on being Latinx and playing a game? And, like, how is representation how do you think representation's handled so far? What are your favorite characters, you know?
Well, my favorite Latinx character currently is Sombra from Overwatch.
Yes! Pobrecita.
Yeah, exactly. And I identified with the sassiness. It's just like, oh, like, I am sassy just like that. Even though, like, she's not Puerto Rican, but I don't care.
Yeah, I'm in two minds about that. Because that's something I was going to say, like... Not to get too heavy too soon, right? But, like, the question of appropriation is really big, mm-hmm. and really important, right? And so, like, how, to what extent do people do things correctly, right?
Yeah.
And, like, properly incorporate what it means to be Latina, which obviously we just got done saying is a very nebulous thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do people actually evoke that in a game that is both tasteful and, you know, perhaps backed with intelligence and education and research, but also is relatable, right? That's,
yeah.
and like, not relatable to everybody, but relatable to some people, right? So, like, when do people say, ah, that would be dope if she were Latina? Like, I don't know, at what point in the process, yeah. does that come into game design? Maybe you guys would,
yeah. could I think it also, like, to piggyback on that again, and to also talk about Sombra, and I just did a whole bunch of research because I wrote an article on Overwatch and Latinidad, because there are three different Latino, mm-hmm. characters in it,
yeah.
And they're all very different. Voice acting, because there's a Rico Rodriguez in Just Cause, but he's voiced, mm-hmm. by a white actor. So, like, where does, and Overwatch has Latinos doing all of their Latino actor characters,
mm-hmm. Except Lucio doesn't speak Portuguese. All right, that makes,
yeah, that is, that is true. Yeah,
they had him say some lines like a year later. They had, yeah. him say some lines in Portuguese.
Yes,
and, like, I'm sorry. Maybe it's great for, like, all the people who yeah. like, don't speak Portuguese, but you know he tried really hard and failed, okay? He tried really hard, much respect. I know he did his best. He doesn't speak Portuguese, but, like, nobody buys it.
It's like hearing Giancarlo Esposito say, like, hombre or something in Maze Runner.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. Yeah. Did you guys see Cyberpunk 2077?
No.
Oh, so I love the game with every fiber of my being, okay? And I know it's going to be amazing, but, like, you're the main character's, like, sidekick or whatever, like, the buddy is, like, adds Spanish to his sentences in, like, the stupidest ways, you know? Like, they try to make him a bad hombre, you know what I mean? And so, like, yeah, but then he's like, bueno, let's get out of here, you know? And it's like, it's so terrible. It's like,
it's, like, well, really corny.
I don't sit my culo anywhere. Who says that?
Yeah, I haven't used the word culo since 2010,
right? And it was in a song that I yelled.
Right. Hello. So, like, sometimes it's wrong, but then, you know, like, I feel like Latinos, other than anybody else, like, I've never seen anybody else love caricatures of their culture in the, yeah. way that Latinos do,
yeah.
right? Like, mad people were like, Speedy Gonzalez is appropriate. We were like, no, give me the hat. Like, I want that. Arriba, let's go. You know what I mean? And so when I see it in games, I'm always like, yes, give me the sexy, sassy girl. Yes, I want more of that. But then, like, in real life, if people are like, oh, wow, you're so spicy, I'm like, chill.
Yeah. And it's also, like, how, yeah. do we balance these identities that we see,
exactly.
too, right? And, like, and I think it also, mm-hmm. comes from who's making it, because I think, like, I am doing, I'm recording voices for an audio drama podcast, and the guy who wrote it isn't Latino, but he wants to, the way you were saying, incorporate Spanish. I don't speak fluent Spanish, but I do know how my family talks, and I do know how the little pieces of Spanish that I know sink into what I'm saying. And I'm like, no, 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 honey.
Yeah.
she wouldn't
say
that.
This just doesn't feel right.
And it's actually reaching out into that creative process. Mm-hmm. And where do you bring, like, having, make sure you have a Latino guiding that, and this goes for all representation, having somebody involved that is actually a piece of that culture. So I need to go update. Oh, go ahead, Juan.
Oh, no, I was just going to agree with you. Like, I took a sociology course in college, and, like, one of the very first things that we talked about was, like, the politics of representation and the weight and gravity of the storyteller, you know, who sets the tone for the things that we say. And it's hard when, you know, you have to portray something as real and have that authenticity come true. Because there's a lot of weight and gravity on those shoulders. Because if you're saying this is what it is, that kind of sets the pace and sets the tone, and you know, is kind of like the origin of where stereotypes can come from.
And then on that note too, the burden of representation, right? So what happens when you are the only Latino in the room or Latina in the room? And you're sitting there and you have to, and you're working, say, you know, you're Chicana, but you're having to work on, you know, a Puerto Rican character. Like, what do you do in that moment when you have to do that? And so there's a lot of issues. And I think the multitude that is being Latinx kind of, you know, muddies the water a little bit. What do you guys think?
To be honest, like, I still haven't pinpointed why it's so difficult for any developer, any designer from AAA to indie to just consult the people that you are trying to represent. Because it's not difficult. We live in a digital age. You can find people so quickly from anywhere in the world. And I still am trying to grapple with that. Like, how do you, as a professional, how can you bring that up to, like, your boss, your supervisor, your team lead, to make it an important part of the process of designing and the process of researching and doing your prototyping and things like that? So I'm trying to do that even where I am working at. You know, I'm still, I feel like it's like one against many. You know what I mean? And sometimes, it's like I am the youngest developer at my company, and I'm only one of like four women at the company, so I feel it even more, where it's just like my voice is so tiny compared to everybody else, but I am the most opinionated, and I tell people how it is, and they appreciate that coming from me because of the space where I'm coming from. It's just like I feel so marginalized that it's just like you're gonna listen to me. You don't have to like it, you don't have to take my word for it, but at least give me the respect and hear me out, you know? And I think that's what we have to do. There was somebody at the panel at PAX West that came up and talked about this, about, I think it was Cyberpunk 2077? 2077, yeah. Somebody made a comment about that there was some appropriation going on, that they wanted to, they didn't know if they should reach out to the developer and tell them anything because the developer was asking for feedback. And they were like, should I not give them feedback since they've been asking for it? And I feel a certain way about it. And I was one of the ones that was like, please, somebody find a contact at the studio. And we were able to find a contact for her right after the panel ended, so that she could talk to somebody at the studio and let her know her feedback. And I think that's important. And the whole reason why we're doing this Latinx in Games group, and why we have a Discord, why we have these discussions on podcasts, on panels, is so that we can build this network and add more people to the group, so that you can be empowered to let your voice be heard. And hey, we'll give you the resources that you need. We'll connect to who you want to talk to in order to make those changes. Because the more we rise up and, you know, make our voices heard, the more we will see that change. If we stay quiet and silent, we're just as complicit as the people who are stereotyping us. That's the reality of how it is. And I'm of the, of the mindset that you have to fight back. And there's certain ways that you can do that. You can do that very respectfully. You can do that very eloquently, or you can just be a dick about it, but you shouldn't be. That's not how change happens. Like, I have never been able to change somebody's mind or help them see a different perspective by being a jerk or being disrespectful. And that's what's been going on right now you know, open up your social media, read anything about politics and world news, and that's how everybody's being. It's complete desynthesizing. Sorry, there's some words in English that I cannot grasp. But I mean, like, people are getting numb. You know what I mean? Yeah. And people are so quick to get angry and frustrated and bitter and fight you over anything. And I think that what we should do in order to make the change is, yes, to be respectful, but hey, these are the facts and this is the reality. And we should be able to see it from both sides, because there's always two sides to the story. Mm-hmm. But there's so many layers to the issues at hand in games, outside of games, and they all kind of filter through, because we have spoken about this before in panels, like us game designers, developers, people in the community, when we make things, they're extensions of who we are as people, right? So whatever we hold dear, all of our values, our experiences, things that we think are wrong, things that we think are right, we inject that into our work and we disseminate it. And then people either, you know, consume it or they are against it, right? And people need to understand that too, that these forms of media are made by people who are just putting themselves into that. So if you're not seeing something that you don't like and you're seeing something that's misrepresented, what you have to do is be the outsider and get into that sphere so that they understand what's going on, because it's a bubble. You know what I mean? They're all different spheres, and it's just a matter of injecting between spheres so that we can become a bigger sphere as a whole, not just these individual clusters, right? So it's a very complicated issue, but I think that one person can make a difference, and we will see that domino effect, and I think especially within this group that we're creating and that we're trying to grow is that that domino effect of positive impact. Because all you need sometimes is just one positive word, one encouragement, and that person encourages another. And then before you know it, you have 50 people who are trying to make a difference in their community. And that's some powerful stuff, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, that was so long.
No, that was an amazing monologue.
And the Oscar goes to.
You actually brought up like memories I had as a kid, like, because the only phrase that I can say in Spanish is no se habla, no se oye, because my mom used to tell me that all the time, like, if you don't talk, nobody's gonna hear you. And so that's kind of like, I didn't listen to her then. I should have, but now in my life now I try to. But like, and that was amazing, Elaine.
In Puerto Rico, we have a different saying, but similar. It says, el que no llora no mama. The one that doesn't cry doesn't, you know, get the food when you're a baby. And that's the reality. Sometimes if we don't say something, nothing's going to happen, you know?
And I think that piggybacks a lot into, or rather, I'm going to piggyback onto that in saying that even beyond getting it right in the games themselves, right, and getting feedback and getting a consultant, I think I kind of feel like the most seamless, awesome, ideal way to do this is to really just be diverse in these places, in these silos, in these bubbles, right? So that's another thing that I think Latinx is doing really well is we're showcasing the successes, right? So many people have worked really hard to get to where they are. Sometimes, you know, despite certain setbacks, sometimes given certain privileges, sometimes being really lucky, sometimes working really hard, and just being exposed to these success stories is motivating, right?
Yeah.
It just in the same way that seeing Sombra in Overwatch makes me think, hey, Latinas can be heroes too. Seeing a successful game developer, seeing someone who, you know, writing and shaping stories at Telltale, you know, seeing someone, you know, making a game that was so well lauded, like Never Alone, like that means they've done it. I can do it. You know what I mean? And that is so what I think is so powerful. And then having Elaine to act as that, you know, other side of the perspective, you know, like what if we had more diverse QA, You know what I mean? And people people just doing a first run through Cyberpunk 2077 could have been like, that sounds a little weird to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, props to the QA team at Cyberpunk 2077. That alpha test that they showed us looked really clean. It was beautiful. It looked really, really clean. And it was very robust. And it was very high def. And it was, you know, there were very few bugs, if any. They showed us a lot of the story. But that one thing was off, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
And, you know, somebody on the QA team could have been that Hispanic person. You don't even need to hire a consultant. You could have been paying him, and he could have been like, oh, just, I don't know, that ticks me off right there, you know?
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard to be in the room and advocate for that stuff, too, because you have to... basically put yourself and your culture on the line and say, this is why this is wrong. This is what I believe in. And then have someone tell you it doesn't matter or is wrong. Like those are just negative reinforcements that will then, you know, kind of create a culture where we say, okay, well maybe we shouldn't bring this up. And it's, it hurts, you know? And like, I'm speaking exactly from experience because I've literally had this scenario happen to me where, you know, in my time at Telltale, I helped close out the season of season 3 of The Walking Dead, which was based around a Latino family. And I was like, oh my God, I get to like talk about it. I get to bring like my flavor. I get to, you know, bring this stuff. They ended up just like having it be, you know, flavor, like on the front end of things, like maybe like a Spanglish word here and there. But there wasn't really anything that gave merit to the culture for the character of substance, you know? And I remember sitting in like one table read and we were just like going over the things that are happening in the game and everybody was playing a card game. And the card game was Euchre. Which is a Midwest card game. And, you know, like by show of hands, like how many Latinx Latinos do you know play Euchre? Spoiler
alert. Never even heard of it.
Yeah, like, I don't know what that word
designer
is.
You know?
No idea. Designer.
What?
I've heard
So I raised my hand and I was just like, hey, look, like this really stands out to me. Can we make it something like poker, maybe? Like my family plays poker like every week, you know, like they get out their nickels and their dimes and you know, they on Saturday nights they start
canasta,
cuarenta, like yeah. Anything. Actually we did end up having to put in a game of dominoes and like I took that to the next level and I made like I literally took a domino set, like a real domino set. And I said, what are the winning conditions for this? And so I created a map and I said, it's either this one or this one. And then I had, funny enough, my Cuban cinematic artist on that scene, like, I was like, look, it's important that the dominoes go down in the right way. And he was like, I got you, dog. Like, I know. like, this is real. We can't do this. And it was actually his dominoes that he brought into the office so that we could take a picture of what it would look like. And, you know, if you do the math and you look at the way that the dominoes were laid out, like, that is a legit game because I took that extra step to say, this is real. This is important to people. You know, like it's bones, it's our culture, it's part of what we do. Let's pay that right, you know? And so like, even though I kind of had a loss, you know, in bringing it up and saying, hey, look, Euchre doesn't stand out, you know, stands out to me. It doesn't feel like something that, you know, we actually do. And they said, it doesn't matter. You know, like inside I was like, if it doesn't matter, then let me change it. Like raging.
Yeah, I can tell you how much it doesn't matter because I can't even remember the name of the game you just said because I've never heard of it.
But it's important that like we're in there, like we're in those rooms. We have the people that we can like pass that information on to. It's sad that like I don't have any like heroes to look up to say like this is my, you know, Hispanic Latino game developer mentor, you know. I wish that there was somebody there for me. And so now, you know, like I've done a lot of reflection, and I'm like, I get to be that. Like, I have to, you know, help be there, be visible for the people that weren't there. And I, like, literally today I went to lunch. I took this other young Latino out to lunch, and, you know, we talked about like what his next steps were, you know, like some, you know, like some good coaching advice, some like job negotiations as he's trying to look for, you know, a new job. And I've even helped him with like his resume. And this is a standing order to anybody that reads out this like podcast, like reach out to me. Like, we want to help you get in this industry. We want to help you be a peer with like one of us. You are one of us. Like, that's the whole point of the inclusive nature.
Right.
Yay. So dope, dude.
Yeah.
I feel like another thing about like having this conversation has come up for me mostly for being a woman who's into esports, right? So yeah. I've had this conversation numerous times. People have come to me about like, oh, well, what do you think about women's leagues? What do you think about all women's leagues? Like, you know, some sort of, or a community based solely just for women. And I guess in the same way it translates for this, like, why just have a community just for Latinos, right? Although we're opening our doors up to anybody who may be interested in our culture, to a certain extent, people might look at this and say, well, why are you just want to play with them and not other people? And before, I used to, and to a certain extent, you know, I'm very much into, for me, diversity is everything, right? Getting more different people in a space together, sharing and collaborating and having a good time is my MO, and it always will be. But as I got older, or as I continued to be a gamer and kind of became cognizant of all the ways that I am similar and different from a lot of different people, I came to realize that it's just so heartwarming and motivating to see somebody that even looks vaguely like you in the spotlight.
Yeah.
And I used to yeah, kind of shrug that off. I used to be like, well, I don't need somebody to look like me. It looks cool. I mean, it's fine. Everybody's excellent. Everyone's doing their good thing. And, you know, people are earning the spotlight, right? But then, you know, the more I see it, the more I found my spirits lifted seeing another pro female player, you know, a pro female team, a Hispanic person excelling. Like, I remember going nuts the first time I saw the first player who received a visa for to be an esports player. Like, specifically, he received a visa in order to play esports. So like the government considered it a real job that you could give a visa for, was technically a Hispanic player who I think it was Canadian. So it's like a weird other thing there, but he was Hispanic. And I was just like, well, great. So he gets to do it. And he looks like me and he also speaks Spanish. This is so cool. And that excitement is for me unprecedented. You know what I mean? It's not something I get to experience often. And it's very exciting. So back to women in esports, whenever people ask me that, I used to say, oh, no, you know, all women leagues and all women tournaments are nice, but, you know, the goal is really mixed kind of for everybody. And that is still the case, obviously. You know, everyone wants to be able to compete on a level playing field ultimately, but having those spaces breeds that kind of inspiration, breeds that motivation, breeds that celebration of success, you know. And everybody needs, I think everyone does better with a mentor. Everybody does better with somebody to look up to. Everybody does better with, you know, someone whose footsteps they can follow, right? Mm-hmm. Any sort of guide, whether it be, you know, Miles Morales doing the right thing in a comic book, or, you know, Scarlet, the female StarCraft player who absolutely bodied a Protoss player in a professional game that I got to witness live and I shouted my head off, you know. Those are the things that stick with you and you say, hey, maybe this isn't unreasonable. Maybe I could do this.
we need these spaces to grow with each other and to see each other grow. And I'm like, I'm thankful I met I'm meeting, you know, you now, Judy. I'm glad I saw you. Elaine, I still have like six of those Latinx maker buttons that I've been giving out to people.
Awesome.
Super happy. I'm just really happy. Like, I walked into that panel at PAX West and got to see this because it's great. Because, like, like going back to what the first question, we've covered every other topic that I had for this roundtable, but like going back to the first question about like seeing Latinx representation in games, like I actually cannot think of anything outside of Overwatch for me.
Like, yeah, I agree with you, Kate, because I was looking at your show notes, looking at your questions, and I like legit had to Google characters because I couldn't off the top of my head remember. Like, I don't have like that visceral connection with like any character. Then I kind of thought, I was like, okay, well, I guess Reaper, but I don't play him. I like his background and the story, but like, I don't play him. I don't have that same reaction like you have like with Sombra, because I know you play her.
I don't play Sombra. That's the thing that you sucks.
Don't?
I what? Suck at Sombra. You should I'm not, play dude, I'm a Sombra. Tank. I'm a tank. I cannot, no. I get in there too much and don't know how to get out to play Sombra.
Yeah, but I was thinking like, I think like the first character that I thought that I saw, I was like, oh, that guy is like visually, you know, Latinx, Hispanic, was when I was playing Gears of War when I was younger, with like Dominic Santiago, and I was like, oh, this guy's dope. I like this guy. I like the story. And then like, I don't know, King from Tekken.
Yeah.
Like,
King.
That's about it.
Yeah. For me, it's fighters, right? Because, so like Eddie Gordo. Yeah. Yeah. Oh God. Blanca. That pisses me off. Yep. Right. Why did they have to make the Brazilian dude, the like monster from the Amazon?
Oh yeah. It's
crazy. No, but
yeah. No, I was like, same. Like, I played Tekken a crap ton, but you know why I played Tekken and that was my game? Because there was a lot of Latinos in Tekken.
Yep. Eddie Gordo was my dude. I actually did Capoeira for like 3 months. I'm really bad at it. Awesome.
If I could tell a quick story about representation and the way that it affects your life, like, this is 100% true, like, my life story. In 1999, back in the day when I was a college freshman, I played a game called Rainbow Six, and you got to be Ding Chavez, and that was the very first time that I had seen kind of like Latinx character, and he was like the team leader of like the Rainbow Six team, and I was just like, oh my God, this guy's amazing, and it literally inspired me halfway into like joining the Marines, you know. Like I saw that he could do it, I saw that he could lead, I saw that, you know, he was my favorite character, like the one that like I saved, you know, and I literally beat the game with him. Like, it came, like, my entire team got killed, and it came down to being like me and him. There was like a door and like one bad guy on the other side of it, and I was just like, I only get like one shot at this, like what am I going to do, like that kind of like pressure, and that like really inspired me, you know. I joined the military, I had a bunch of other like Latino friends. And then when I was in the military, I played Battlefield 2, and I saw the level of detail and representation that they had like made, because I got a chance to go into like a real tank, you know, like a real M2 Abrams tank. And I looked into the turret and I immediately recognized it from the video games that I played. And I had this like moment of discovery that was just like, this is real. You know, the stuff that I was doing before was also like, you know, real and inspiring. And then immediately I connected the dots of like how influential stories were to getting us to the next level, to inspiring us, to connecting us with the things that, you know, we can do. And so when I got out of the Marine Corps, I had no idea what I wanted to do. But I love video games and I love stories, you know, and I saw the power in connecting and seeing the realness of it. And then that just basically became the theme for my life. And as I started to invest in my career, I noticed that, you know, a part of me wasn't recognized. Like a part, like my Latinidad was, you know, on the back burner. It was something that I had like neglected so that I could achieve success. And, you know, still do like my own, like, you know, like cultural representation things like that are for me, like what I grew up doing. but there's so much value and connectivity in everyone else's, and everyone else has such like a great story that I want to help enable and tell them and inspire and, you know, bring everyone to the table, because it set me on this amazing trajectory for my life. And I can't think of a better way than to like elevate the rest of us. And that kind of has kind of become like my new mission, you know? So thank you for letting me like talk about that, because I think it's important that we need to be there for each other. We need to put down any animosity that we like have against each other that has kind of been directed at us to direct and deflect to each other, and realize that like we all have way more in common than we have apart. And when, you know, difficult times like this, you know, have, you know, one of us under attack, it means that like all of us are under attack, and we're going to band together in a way that, you know, they were not ready for.
Damn.
I'm a storyteller.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. No, that was really, really amazing. I mean, and I identify with a lot of what you said. Like,
what a beast.
Yeah.
He's a real life hero.
I know.
I love y'all so much. I have so much love for everyone in this group, and like all I want to do is just remind everyone that like this community is something that we're growing and we're building together. In January, like 9 months ago, it was literally just me, Judy, and Chris. And, you know, now we have a Discord with over 100 people. We've talked at GDC, at E3, at PAX. We have another panel coming up at PAX Unplugged. And they all have literally been built off of the people that we connect with and that we, you know, see and we want to elevate. Like, this is not like our show. This is our platform. You know, the people that we put together for GDC, we met and we decided to like have like another meetup at E3. And the people that we met at E3 were the people that we coordinated with for our PAX West panel. And then at PAX West, we met people that we coordinated for PAX Unplugged. So if you're at PAX Unplugged, like you could be on our next panel. Like, this is your forum. This is,
and TwitchCon more
than us. And TwitchCon, exactly. We're doing so much, and we need your help.
Mm-hmm. Catch you. My favorite Latinx in gaming are y'all now.
Hey. All of the pros. Thank you.
Hey, but that's all of us. Go ahead.
And if you don't mind me just plugging in about mentors, because we went past that already. But I always give a shout out to my mentor when I did my bachelor's. His name is Dr. Joe Sanchez, because without him, I wouldn't be here right now. The only reason that I pursued my master's in game design and now, it's because he decided that in one of his classes, I was a great student that he wanted to take under his wing and give an opportunity to that would propel me in ways that he wouldn't even imagine, you know? So I am definitely product of the power of somebody who's Latinx leader that takes somebody under their wing and gives them the resources so that they can fly. So that's definitely why I'm so passionate about this too, and being a mentor and giving resources, and why I teach. That's the whole reason why I love teaching, because I get to be that for all my kids, from kids who are graduating college and going into the workforce to my middle school kids who just want to know what games are all about. You know, you get to be that change. And now more so than ever, now that I'm teaching in New York City. I have kids who are, yes, there's Latinx students that I have, but I have Black students and I have Middle Eastern students and Asian students, all kids of color, because you're talking about New York City, right? And giving them that inspiration, it's just like, wow, my teacher is freaking cool, and she's Puerto Rican, and like my friends are Puerto Rican, and like now I'm connected with everybody and I feel like I belong. That, it to me is so, it makes me so happy that they feel that they have a place that they're safe and they belong and that they're learning with each other, and that there's no such thing as a stupid question, and that they can learn at their own pace. You know, so, and even though that's outside of what I'm doing with a group, because I'm just helping where I can, right? I think that's also in our vision to be able to open doors to anybody that would like to walk through those doors. Because the people that I know, perhaps Juan doesn't know, but Juan has a network that other people can reach out to. You know, I think between all of us, we know everybody at every major game company, I think, you know? So, like at PAX West, you were there, Kate, and for anybody else who was there, I had somebody come up to me, give me their card, just like, hey, I work at Nintendo. Hey, I work at Ubisoft. Like, just random people are just like, whatever I can help, let me know. And it's just like, wow. Like, it's incredible that Latinx are really everywhere. We're everywhere. Yeah. And all you need to know is just talk. You just need that door to walk through, and you'll get to be able to chase after your dreams and at least find out more information about something through someone, you know? And that's what we're all about here. I can't reiterate enough the meaning of family in the community, because that's what family does. You got each other's backs, and you're there to help each other.
Exactly. Everybody just wants to share. That's one thing that I think mm-hmm. is crazy. Okay, I'm going to be that person to burst the bubble. There's a lot of drama on the internet. I don't know if y'all heard about that.
Yeah.
A lot of drama. So it used to drive me nuts that, like, I would be afraid to go in any new community because I'd be the new girl. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm a girl. Oh, by the way, I'm Latina. You know what I mean? So, like, then you just reintroduce yourself to everyone, and then you're just, like, afraid of what the stereotypes might be, and then what are you going to have to break? What are you going to have to, you know, reinforce? What are you going to have to – what boundaries are you going to have to set? The moment this Discord started getting active, people were sharing job opportunities. People were sharing experiences. We made mad emotes about – we got our chancla. We got Walter Mercado in the building. It's just been nothing but jokes and laughter and – an opportunity. And everyone has just been so open-handed with it in a way that I've never experienced on the internet before. And I feel like in a certain way, sure, it's the way we design the platform. It's the way our message is being sent. It's the fact that our focus is openness and inclusivity and accessibility. But I think it also is the nature of our culture and how we all are so family-oriented. And we all are about the camaraderie. You know what I mean? I feel like that is part of the foundation of Latinidad, right?
Yeah.
For better or for worse, like, we're sticking out for our people and we're doing our best to see everyone around us shine in any way that we can. And so whether it's, you know, Juan finding similarities in everyone and being able to look past differences, whether it's Elaine teaching everybody, you know, what the opportunities are, without regard for who you are or where you came from, or whether it's, you know, me trying to set up platforms for people to talk about things they love, that's Latinidad. You know, for me, that's like, we just want to share. We just want to have a good time and share our good time with everybody.
Y'all are so great to have on here, and I have sound bites for days. That was amazing. And all I'm thinking in my head is that I have like 50 cousins, and half of them aren't my cousins, but it's because it's everybody's everybody's cousin.
We're probably cousins.
True. No, I mean, this is amazing, guys, and hearing you talk. I only have one of the last questions I have. We've covered representation. We've covered being in the game industry and mentorship and, like, Latinidad itself. And the last thing I have to say is, like, what advice would each of you give to people to, you know, and obviously you all kind of started there with reaching out and finding that network, but what advice can you give to, you know, a young Latinx out there who wants to get started but doesn't know how?
Well, I guess I'll give you an advice as a Latinx person, but also as a teacher, because I give this advice all the time to my students. I always tell people to find out what it is that gives you a spark. What is that thing that you love? Like, what brings a smile to your face when you think about it? You know, for some people in the games industry, maybe content creation, maybe it's like Twitch, maybe it is programming, maybe it's art and 3D modeling, maybe it's writing stories. There are so many avenues in the games industry that people do not know of. You know, for the programming department alone, I can think of 10 to 15 different engineering roles that make up a programming department. You have people who just do gameplay program. You have people who just make tools programming. You have people who just make AI. That's their job. It's just to make AI. So there's, so it's different avenues. Just figure out what is it that you love? What do you, are you interested in? And then build from there, you know? So if it's in like development, because that's my world, figure out how you can join like game jams. Game jams are super helpful and if you're trying to start and make a game, because you get to know the community locally, people who are making games in your town, and build skills from there, get to know people, and start from scratch. There's a lot of open source stuff all over the internet to make games, like YouTube, and between YouTube and the Unity forums, because I use Unity, between those two, that's how I know everything that I know about game development. Because you go to school, you get a degree, but it's all theory, and it's a network. I went to USC for my degree in games. It's like I paid for the faculty, really, to the network of my faculty, and game theory. Aside from that, all game development was I learned outside of school. And I would say 8 to 9 developers that I would know out of 10 are self-taught when it comes to engineering. It's something that you practice and you get better, like, as you go. And you spend most of your time figuring out why the thing that you're making is not working. That's the reality. So I would say with that in regards to game development, and also there's a difference between game design and game development. The design of it all is how everything works, like how do puzzles work? How does the story integrate with what you're doing in this space? Game development is the engineering. How does that translate into the technical? So I always tell my students they're two different worlds. They are go hand in hand, but they are different expertises and different skills that you need in different spaces. I don't know a lot about content development and like public relations, like marketing and things like that. Those are other worlds as well. I'm sure that Judy and Juan would know more about that stuff. But that's what I would say about game development, at least in design.
I can go next since I sort of technically don't have a full-time job for this yet. Still looking. But for me, growing my network has been kind of my focus. And for me, instead of saying find your spark and then pursue that spark, for me, I would say do everything. I mean, again, this is advice I would have for anyone, but I think I've found success doing everything I can as well as I can, right? Every place I go, everybody I talk to, I do my best to be my optimal self with that person, whether it be, you know, trying to be as helpful as I can, having as much information as I can, or, you know, doing my day job as well as I can, doing, you know, creating content as well as I can, writing as well as I can, anything. And what I've noticed is that the stuff that I love, voice acting as much as I can, what I've noticed is that the stuff that I love is the stuff that is easiest to do well for me, right? Not even the stuff I'm the most expert at. Obviously, I love playing games and I'm crap at them, but I feel like what I find the most comfort doing. I remember telling tiniest story. When I first started going to gaming related meetups, specifically, I went to this one for esports, and because I didn't start the ones that I'm now spearheading, I went to one, and I remember hearing the language around me and being so comfortable. You know, hearing everyone talk in like League of Legends jargon was just like my favorite thing. It felt like music. It felt like the way people go to sports bars to watch sports. I went to watch esports, and it was just so fulfilling. And so I strove to recreate that. And so that's why I'm now doing, you know, the League of Libation stuff that I do here, the local meetups in the city. So that everything you try to do, you do as optimally as you can. And then the stuff that comes the most naturally, or the stuff that feels the best when you do it, that I would say is what you try to take, you know, forever. So that and local groups, local events, just like Elaine said, meeting other people that are on the same road as you is invaluable, because then you end up meeting people that inspire you, people who could be your mentors, people who you could give opportunities to, and that feels good too. So,
wow, that was really great. I was just going to say, join at Latinos in Gaming.
Hey, shout out.
Shameless plug.
I think my advice is basically just, you know, believe in yourself, you know, try it, you know, dare to dream, dream bigger, do it earlier. There's literally nothing holding you back. I think it's just been this, you know, part of, I think part of our own Latinidad culture is, at least for me, has been this like submissive, stay in your lane kind of thing, like very authoritarian. See, I also have that problem. And I feel like the more that like I've believed in myself and just tried to follow my own pursuits has, you know, really made the difference. I went to the school I wanted to for video games, even when my parents told me that I was making a mistake. You know, I pursued my dreams and I dared to do it. And I think like we all have that like fire inside us that our culture gives us to be the best, to be helpful, to have a hard work ethic, to be respectful. And like they're all really great things that are professional aspects that will, you know, really make you shine no matter what you do. And if you are comfortable in being yourself, you're going to, one, have fun doing what you do because you're honest with yourself and you're allowing that to thrive. And you're also connecting with people on a truthful level that you may never know what the opportunities will be when you put yourself out there and connect. But you'll never do it if you don't take that first step. And I think in order to take that first step, you really have to believe in yourself. And that's really why, you know, I want to volunteer for this group, and I want to tell people that, you know, like maybe this time next year they'll be on the podcast with you, Kate, for our, you know, 1 year anniversary of Hispanic Heritage Month 2019, if we survive. but like this is our community. These are our gaps to fill. And as I step up, like I would love nothing more than to see more of us, you know, to my left and right as equals, because we all have a place here.
Thank y'all for being on here and giving that amazing advice. Like I don't know about you, Adrian. I feel inspired. I was having a rough day and I just feel like I've gained 10 years on my life. My skin has cleared up and I am fully hydrated. Hearing you guys talk.
I mean, anyone who's like listened to the podcast before in forums like this, I just like to sit and listen and get inspired. So I really appreciate everything that you guys have said. I totally agree with everything, and it's inspired me to like do more things. Elaine, you specifically, as a teacher, I'm gonna go kick my kids in the butt because they were giving me a hard time this week. They're getting a swift kick of motivation tomorrow. But I mean, I think the biggest thing that I get out of this, and I've noticed this with our new neighbors, who are Cuban and Nicaraguan, like there's like, even though like they don't understand everything that my wife and I talk about when we're talking about like our Hispanic culture and like our Mexican culture, like it's still that familia is still there regardless. And I think that's like the biggest and my biggest takeaway from this conversation. Anyone who listens to the podcast knows I love Fast and Furious and Vin Diesel. And the Salud to Mi Familia is like the biggest part for me. And that's how I just feel. Like I just feel Vin Diesel saying that line over and over again, listening to you guys talk. So I just really, really appreciate it.
Fun fact, listeners, if you sub to us on Twitch, a gif of Vin Diesel pops up and Salud Mi Familia plays in the background, his voice clip.
There you go. There you go.
One of my favorite Vin Diesel jokes is like when at the very beginning of Fast and Furious, where he's betting the car, and like Paul Walker comes up to him and is like, I almost had you.
You never had me. Had me. You never had your car.
You never had your car. So, yeah. Oh, man. Much love to the Fast and Furious.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much. I mean, I kind of want to keep you here all night, but I will not take your time up like that. I know we're in different time zones and things. this is your moment to plug away. I will include any links y'all want me to include in the show notes. If you're listening, head over to our website, butwhythepodcast.com, and you can get the full show notes with links to all the great things that these guys are doing. So we can start with Juan.
Sure.
And where people can find you. Yeah, so they can follow you on the
place. So I only exist on Twitter. I am at Juan Cao. My name is Juan Vaca, therefore Juan Cao. Surprise. Clever. I just want to also like remind people like we are people, you know, Latinos just like you. Like I grew up in a like I'm just a brown kid that happened to make it, you know. I think like there's that opportunity for all of us. So I am 100% accessible. Please reach out to me. Like I want to help elevate you, no matter what part of the industry, what your Latinidad is, please feel free to contact us. Join our group at Latinos in Gaming. There's a place for you.
Okay, so I exist all over the internet, but I'm fairly active on Twitter. My handle is ChulaTastic, so it's like Chula and Fantastic. And that's where you can find me. I'll be posting some of my work there as well. So if you want to look at like the indigenous stuff that I've been working on the side and some stuff that I work with at Eline that I repost. And then, yeah, I chat with people on our Discord channel, the Latinx in Gaming Discord channel. And same like Juan, if you need anything, if you need advice, if you want me to connect you with somebody, like I'm here and I'm very accessible and open. My DMs are open, but not for weird things, you know what I mean? And also, we're here for each other, just, like, not even games-related stuff, like life stuff. Like, I've been going through some rough stuff, and Juan has been checking in on me, which has been really, really nice. So thanks, Juan. And another one of our Latinx community members, Danny Pena, who does the Gamertag Radio podcast, who's also been checking up on me. So, like, we are like that family. Like, it's big brothers check up on their little sisters. So it's a cool feeling to be able to be a part of it, and you're more than welcome to be a part of it, too.
Judy?
Woo! All right. I am Judy Jetset. My mom is Brazilian. My dad is Mexican, and I was born here. And you can find me on everywhere, but ideally Twitter. I am at Jetset _. They won't give me Jetset, even though it's been idle for like years. Twitter noticed me. Anyway, my big things are I'm the head of NYC League of Legends. If you're into gaming and you're in the tri-state area or East Coast, please hit me up. Let me know what you want to watch, what esports you want to watch in a bar, or if you want to have like tournaments, or if you want to host something. If I don't do it, I can find somebody who does, or maybe we could start it. Again, my big jams are esports, League of Legends, CSGO, shooters in general. I love watching esports of all kinds, so hit me up if you're into that. I'm also into tabletop role-playing games. I play a lot of D&D, so hit me up if you're into that too, or just about anything, because, you know, saluda mi familia, you know.
Adrian is so happy this episode.
Over the moon.
And always, as always, you can find the podcast at ButWhyThoughPC on Twitter. That's where we are most active. And head on over to ButWhyThoughPodcast.com for all of our articles that our community and podcast network are making. And you can find me at Oh My MythRandier on Twitter. My Twitter is a little hectic right now, so may want to stay away for a little bit. Going through some things on there. But yeah, you can find me there. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReese93, SuperRuiz93. And no, go support Kate and her Latinx stuff, because she's correct and we love her.